Greetings, in Jesus' name. It's good to see so many youth. That blesses my heart. Because you're the future. Because us old people are going to die. You can, but we will. This morning, as I was sitting here, my thoughts were rambling. We sang a song, Tread Softly. Did you ever hear something, smell something, see something, and remind you of something in the past? That's what happened to me this morning. I looked at my wife, and she did too. Tread Softly is a song we sang on our wedding day, when we walked in. Okay? Just every time we sing that song, just brings back memories. This morning, for a message, do you believe in the spirit world? Do you believe there are spirits here this morning? I'll give you a little incident that happened yesterday that I said to my wife this morning, that was so strange. I just wish I'd, like our brother said about that opportunity, I wish I could live that again and ask more questions. We were at a house sale. I wanted to see what a house brought. We just walked into the house and just looking a little bit. Here comes this couple to us. They asked first, are you going to buy the house? And, well, that's sort of a strange question to ask someone you've never seen. And I looked at him and, no, I'm not really, just looking. And then she said to my wife, when I just seen you, I was just felt secure. What were they thinking? I don't know. Then through the conversation, she said to my wife that they were from California. She was. I don't think he was. And then she even had a prayer with my wife. Strange. At a sale. Strange. That incident, that opportunity, I wished I would have. I was so taken aback that I wished I would have asked more questions. You ever have that opportunity and you miss it? I did. I missed it yesterday. Did you ever see an angel? How many seen an angel? Strange. How you know? How you know you never seen an angel? What does Hebrews 13:2 says? Entertaining stranger angels unawares. Might look like a normal person. Angel simply means a messenger. Sent by God, it's personal, sinless. Immortal beings existing in great numbers. If you look at Genesis 2, it's the only indication where we can see where they when they were created. Genesis 2, verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, indicating, probably, the host indicating the angels. Also, Nehemiah, maybe I should read them words too. Nehemiah 9:7. Get to the right book here. Nehemiah 9:6. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their hosts, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Colossians would have also the same idea. The earth and sea were finished, and the host would been the army, the angels, the heavenly bodies. Now, what do we mean by an immortal being? What do we mean by that? Okay, the easiest way I can explain it to you is like Jesus was after his resurrection. He was different than he was when he was in his earthly body. He was in his glorified body. Remember when the disciples were together and all of a sudden Jesus appeared? Doors were locked. But there he was. And that's what I feel and understand what an immortal body is, a being is. A body that is a glorified body. No limited to barriers or anything. I can't explain it any other way. I don't understand more than that. Remember also concerning God is a spirit. John tells us that in John 4:24. Now, turn with me to Exodus. I want to show you something concerning God. I don't have no scripture verse indicating that's my... I'm just going to jump around the Bible this morning. Exodus 33. I want to read from 20 to 23. This is when Moses was in the praise for God's presence. And then in verse 20 he says, "And he said, Thou canst not see my face." This is God speaking. "For there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory," or my presence, "passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Now, here we have a few words here. Face, back parts, hand. Sounds like a person, don't it? There's another thought in Genesis 1:27, which then says that man is made in the image of God. Okay? I believe, maybe I'm saying too much by saying this, but you can rebuke me afterwards, but maybe I'm thinking that God is a spirit. Yes, that is right. But it talks about his face, hand, back parts. God does have a spiritual form, I feel. And his form is in the likeness of us, I feel. That's my feeling. Okay, so much for God. Now, talking more about angels, I want to first turn to Job 38. There were God and Job had a dialogue. Job 38, verse 4. "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" This is God speaking. "Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Now, this is the verse I really wanted. "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." This is a happening soon after creation. Now, what thought do I want? The sons of God shouted for joy. I don't know what to say, but that was the angels shouting for joy after God's creation was created. Now, there is only three angels that I know that had names. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Michael was an archangel, referred to Jude 9. An archangel simply means a chief or a captain of the angels. He's a leader, lead angel. I want to show you another verse where that comes out on. Gabriel, we also see Gabriel did more work like coming to earth and giving a message. Okay? Michael, you don't read anything of Michael coming to earth. You hear and read of Michael in heaven doing his work. If I'm wrong, please tell me afterwards. Lucifer, we all know who Lucifer is. Now, also, I think there's another part of the angels like cherubim and seraphim. Cherubim, it was an angelic being that served in the presence of God. The cherubims dealt more with the holiness of God. You know, remember back in Genesis when they were cast out of the garden? There in chapter 3, there's a cherubim that came, and verses 22 to 24, and the Lord said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest we put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." See, if man would have eaten of the tree of life, he would have lived forever. So man sinned, so he could not. Therefore, the cherubim, the angel being there, cast him out of the Garden of Eden. Seraphim, I can only think of one account there in Isaiah. He gave the assignment of the altar there, commissioning service to Isaiah. And commissioning and the cleansing of his heart, and also the commissioning of him. Now, I said we want to talk a little bit about Michael, the archangel. Let's turn to Jude, the book of Jude, just before Revelation, and look at verse 9. "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Now this incident, I would say, where did it happen? Just struck me now. Satan was cast out of heaven. And Moses here, this incident happened after Satan was cast out of heaven. I'm not sure. Must have been on earth, ain't it? This is the thought I want. Jude here is referring to an old Jewish tradition which is called the Assumption of Moses, which Michael the archangel refused to be rebuked by Satan, who charged that Moses was a murderer. It doesn't really indicate in saying that, but that he was a murderer. That's what the assumption of Moses, that Jewish tradition said. Therefore, he did not deserve a proper burial. Remember, when he went on the mount with God, he could look over into the Canaan land, see the land, and he died. Then he died. Now, the dispute that Satan wanted to dispute about was that the burial of Moses. That's what he wanted to dispute about. He said he didn't deserve a proper burial because he was a murderer. Is that why God buried him? That's not why God buried him. I feel God buried him simply due to the fact so the people don't go and worship that tomb, that man. That's why God buried him. But Satan was trying to make a lie about this and say he wasn't worthy of a proper burial. Okay, Satan was cast out of heaven. He was originally created as one of God's highest angels called Lucifer, which means morning star or light bearer. The Hebrew meaning is the bright one. I think he was a very intellect angel. Now, as the morning star speedily disappears before the rising sun, so Satan, the angel of light, will be banished to outer darkness by the coming of the Son of God. You know, when the stars are in the morning, the early morning, you see the stars and the sun becomes to get brighter and brighter. The stars disappear. You can't see them. Just like the morning star, Satan will disappear when the Son of God, the light, will come. Now, I want to turn to Revelation chapter 12. Concerning Satan. Revelation 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and seven horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. I feel that this here also is indicating of verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and he and his angels were cast out with him. There. That is the incident that the third part of the fallen angels were cast out of heaven. The Michael overcome. He was the archangel. He overcome Satan, the other angel. And they threw out those wicked angels. That, in our Sunday school lesson, that is where the angels made a decision. Are you going to follow Lucifer or are you going to follow God? That is where they made their decision. They had no more opportunity to receive salvation, just like we looked into our Sunday school lesson. They can look into it. They cannot experience it. Now, what is the purpose of the angels? I see I'm not going to get over. They are the servants of God to benefit man. Now, I want to read two verses, Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels, and the Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Now, the chariots of God. Just think of that phrase just a little bit. Now, I want to read also, remember the account in Luke 16? Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Now, what happened when they died. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was also died and was buried. Now, it's indicating what happened afterwards after they died. The angel carried the beggar into Abraham's bosom. Now, thought I want. You ever hear the song, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Coming for to Carry Me Home"? That's biblical. The chariots of God are angels. When you die, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Is the angel going to carry you home? Our spirit goes back to God who gave it. Our body goes to dust. That was an encouraging thought. The angel has... As I made this study, I didn't understand how much angels really have workings, what they all do. Gabriel, he communicated the will of God to man. You know, in Daniel 9, 22, 23, Daniel was given skill. The angel Gabriel came to Daniel and he said, "I'm going to give you skill and understanding." Then in verse 18, "Hereby shall..." Jumping ahead. "He gave him wisdom. He gave him end time visions." Now, another place, Gabriel, I'd like for you to turn to this. Luke 1. Gabriel here has appearance here again on earth. Luke 1. I don't want to read all this. Luke 1. You have Gabriel coming to Zechariah, which is John the Baptist's father. He was in the temple? I think. Anyway, he is prophesying that they're going to have a son. Now, verse 18 is what I want. "And Zechariah said unto the angel, Hereby shall I know this." Or in other words, how shall I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered, this is what Gabriel said. This is how you're going to know it. "And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God, and send to speak unto thee, and to show these glad tidings. Behold," this is what he said, "and behold, thou shalt be dumb, not be able to speak until the days that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." That's how he knew it was there, Gabriel, because he's going to be dumb. And he was. We also know that 6 months later, Gabriel visited Mary. And Mary was, of course, surprised to see Gabriel there and giving such a prophecy coming that she is going to bring the Savior into the world. All right. In Acts 8, there's another incident. 8:26, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down," verse 26, "down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man in Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." Then it says, "And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot." Now, what I wanted in this was, first we have the angel instructing Philip to arise and go to where he was told to go. Philip was not told, but not knowing God's will in this particular case, but he was just told to go. Then the Spirit tells him to go and join up with this man. And then from there, the spirit is in control. See how they have the angel and the spirit working together. How do you feel when the spirit is working in your life? How do you feel? You ever feel an impulse? You ever feel a tug? You ever feel something urging you to do something? That's the spirit. Mind the spirit when the spirit calls. Women, I want to read a verse for you in 1 Corinthians 11. I think you know what I'm going to read. Verse 11, verse 10, for this cause ought the women to have power on their head because of the angels. What does that mean? What does that mean when you have power on their head? Means that women should wear a covering on their head as a sign that she is under man's authority. In God's order and organization of things, man is the head of the woman and the woman is a queen by his side. God created man that he took a man from the rib and created a woman and as a companion. Now, the angels watch you and understand that, and they also probably protect you. Don't you think? I want to give you a little story. This happened back when we were in the youth. Some girls were driving down the road, and they seen a man hitchhiking. So they decided, I guess they felt a little frolic that day, and they picked him up. And I don't know how far they went. I don't know all the details. But as they left him out, he said, girls, I want to tell you something. Do you know what I was going to do today? I was going to rob the car that picks me up. But you know why I couldn't do it? That thing on your head. That's what he said. You used to have power. You used to have protection. Do you believe in protection? I do. Daniel did too. Daniel in the lion's den. Peter in prison. They sure did. The spirit world is real. Elisha knew that. I experienced it happening in amongst our congregation not long ago. It is real. This devil's real. I'll just say this much, that those satanic things that people can get involved in, don't get involved with it. It's real. Young people, don't dabble with it. Witch doctoring and things like that, it's terrible. It can cause a spell to come upon a person that never was involved, even though their descendants in the past were, can pass on to you. I've seen it. Praying over the girl. Why? Prayer casts out the demon. And different person afterwards. So don't dabble in that kind of stuff. It's not worth your time. Because Satan is a cruel master. I see I must shorten my sermon up here a little. Matthew 28:2 is where the incident where the angel sat on the stone and as he rolled away the stone in the morning and let. The question I have for you. When the angel rolled away the stone, is that when Jesus came out of the tomb, or was that to show us as man that the tomb was empty? Well, the answer is simple. It was to show us as humanity that the tomb was empty. In John 5, I should maybe read them verses. John 5. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep pool market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in and was made whole, whosoever disease he had. Now my question is, can the angels heal people? Well, I don't feel the angel healed the person that stepped in the water. I just feel the angel came and gave the sign that there was healing power in the water. That's my feeling on that. God did the healing. The angel did the messenger service as telling the impotent people that there was healing in the water. Now, we also know in Revelations that the angels for future will be carrying out God's judgments in the earth. I'd just like to read one verse, Revelation 19. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. It's not the verse I wanted. Well, verse 17, it's indicating, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried in a loud voice, saying all these. And then, it's not what I wanted. I maybe have the wrong reference, Matthew 13. Let's look at that. Matthew 13, 41, 42. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out all the kingdom, all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity, here it is, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the verse I wanted. The angels are going to go forth and gather those that offend and do iniquity. The gathering from the four corners of the earth. Well, we could say much about angels this morning. There is, we also know there Jesus was the only one that the angels announced, gave the birth announcements. The angels did prophesy and births, but Jesus is the only one that they came and announced his birth. So, in summing it up, angels are not to be worshipped. They are created beings. They're not divine. They are created. But yet they're, how would you say it? Yes, the ones that are not fallen are perfect, but yet they are created beings. Angels are created beings. They are immortal, meaning that they don't die. They had a choice. Angels are spiritual beings. They have appeared to men in a visible form, just as God reveals himself through Jesus Christ. Angels are also controlled by God's command. Now, I do want to read this one verse yet. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven, notice this, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. What I get out of that is God commands the angels as to what they're doing. And these angels are looking into the face of the Father, waiting for the command as to what they're supposed to do. Do you have an angel this morning? Well, I don't know if each one of us personally has an angel, but I do believe we have angels around us. They serve as messengers in every good work, and they are glorious and glorified beings. Now, notice one thing. Angels are not spirits of people who lived on earth and died. But there were people that were buried and lived again and walked on earth. Back when Jesus was crucified and rose again, then it says that in Jerusalem, the graves were open and the people arose and walked around the city. What if you seen Grandma coming again? That would be something. I wasn't going to bring this out, but I'm going to give you something to think about. In 1 Samuel 28:7, I was just studying that this morning. You remember when Saul was up against, God departed from him, and he knew his Philistines were on him. What did he do? He went to the witch at Endor. How did that witch commune with Samuel is a mystery. Think through that. He was dead. He was dead. Did the witch in Endor really raise up Samuel and talk to him? One thing you must notice in them verses that she was astounded what she seen. She was really frightened because she was used to seeing some other things. Or did God perform a miracle there to tell Saul what he needed to know, what he needed to hear? Just for your own study, just think about that. I don't really have the last word on that. I don't know. Well, this morning, I personally believe this morning there's angels here. And I also personally believe there's other spirits here. Because I've been preaching long enough that I felt already, I just couldn't preach because I just felt a spirit. Just couldn't preach right. It's real, brother. So let us continue to look to the Lord. Let us kneel to pray.